another episode of The Rule of Three, two comics, three topics, 10 minutes each, the perfect podcast for your modern life. I'm Brian Miller, and I'll be talking some news, some pop culture, and a weird story about my life. I'll come up here with Tim Slagle over in Chicago.
Hey.
So yeah, we're going to tell the story that kind of dominated the early half of my week last week. All happened right after we podcast.
Wow.
Yeah, or very shortly thereafter.
Wow,
yeah.
And the week before that, you went into the hospital shortly after the podcast.
Yes, well, here's the thing. This is another story of medical thrills and mysteries starring my cat.
Wow, but that's topic three, right?
Yes.
Okay.
And also, we'll be talking about, well, I guess what everybody will be talking about this week, Star Wars Rogue One is coming out. The funny thing will be
I could not be less excited for that.
Interesting.
Yep.
Oh, I'm somewhere between you and everybody else, I think. I'm not exactly where everyone else is either. But first, I suppose the big news topic of the week seems to be Russia and the potential level of Russia's influence in the election.
Yeah.
And that's a pretty broad spectrum. That could range from, yeah, they had some, you know, I'm sure we do some co-intel, as it were, on Russia, right? I'm sure we, you know.
Oh, sure. We try. Yeah, it's like not like the United States has never tried to influence an election before.
No, the question to me then becomes, to what degree does the candidate himself participate in said meddling?
So you think that there was participation in the meddling?
Oh, I think I think everything was indirect. I'm reading a great book about Vladimir Putin by Masha Gessen right now called The Man Without a Face. And what's interesting is, and perhaps not totally surprising, is that Putin's favorite thing in the world is intelligence manipulation. He
sure.
dreamed of being in the KGB as a child. He loves that. He loved.
He was in the KGB, actually, though, right?
He was in the the KGB had pretty much disbanded. The Soviet Union. He was in the KGB.
Oh, okay.
He was in the KGB in East Germany.
That's weird that you would dream of that as a kid.
He's like, the idea that you could control thousands of people's lives and they would never know it was the ultimate dream of his. He got into a lot of fights as a kid and then got a talk from a KGB agent who said, "No, you know, young boys who do this don't get to be in the KGB." And he like changes his ways and really does everything in his life to signal, because what's a really interesting detail, you cannot apply to be in the KGB. You could, but if you applied, that was a guaranteed way to not get in.
Oh, that's fascinating.
Anyone who applied.
That's perfect. That's
right.
Yeah, a bouncer once told me at a comedy club, he said, the people who want to sit in front, always in the back, because you know you're probably going to have to pull them out of the show.
I've heard the exact same thing.
The people who don't want to sit in front, that's where you put them, because they'll be uncomfortable and giggling through the whole show. He said that's how you seat a room. And that's really interesting that the KGB would do that.
Yeah.
It's also interesting that would be a threat. It's like, children that do not finish their borscht will not be in the KGB. Here in the United States, it's cowboys always finish their broccoli. If you want to be an astronaut, you have to learn math. You know what I mean? It's the threats here in the United States are the kids are given are much different than if you want to be in the KGB.
Yeah, so Putin worked on the East German side, and he was really bummed because he wanted to work on the West German side during the divide, because he really likes stuff. That's one of the things that comes out. Putin loves stuff, and it bums him out. Like any good Russian leader, he doesn't know why all the people want all this stuff, and he would really like a lot of stuff. I think that's pretty much the definition of Russian leaders.
Well, you know, that's pretty much the definition of communism. Is the only way to get stuff is to move up in the government.
Yeah.
It's you cannot have stuff unless you're, you know, it doesn't become a classless society like Marx dreamed. It becomes a two-class society.
Oh, I know. I'm not a fan of the practical – I'm not a fan of communism in general.
I was not accusing you.
No, I didn't figure you – no, don't worry. I didn't think I was that far out there. I think, here's the thing. We know Trump colluded We can know from him anyway. We know that Trump's his number two national security advisor during the campaign went and – I wish I could remember this guy's name. Page went and had meetings with the Russian officials. We know that for a fact. And then after the fact, Trump said that he was not on his security team. Trump asked Russia to do hacking during the debates.
That was a joke.
Here's the thing. Trump – I am so tired of hearing about how everything Trump says is a joke. That's what – I mean, Trump is Negan. No, hold on a second. Trump
that
is
one was
Negan
a
from
joke.
The Walking – Trump – absolutely it was not. Trump is Negan from The Walking Dead. This is what any good bully does. Bullies pretend to be nice sometimes, and then they joke, and then they say mean things while they joke. They go back and forth because a big part of bullying is keeping everyone uncomfortable and off balance, and bullies and cowards never want to be called on what they say. So they go, oh, no, I was just joking just now. That's a classic bully tactic, like a classic Trump tactic.
Yeah, no, I get that. I understand.
I'm not saying that's how the command was going out, but I'm saying Trump is not smart enough to keep his – Trump is not smart enough to not say what he's thinking and what's going on. And he absolutely wanted Russia to do that. I don't think Trump was colluding with them in the sense that he told them to start, but he has business interests with Russia. I think that's why he doesn't want to release his taxes. His nomination of Secretary of State is the American who's received the highest honor that exists in Putin's government for foreigners.
Right.
That's not an – oh, and by the way, 17 intelligence agencies, including the CIA, concur that there's strong evidence that Russia colluded. Now, that's not to say there's strong evidence
that Russia colluded or that Russia hacked the DNC emails.
The Russia hacked the DNC emails. Yeah, sorry. Misstatement on that. No, there's not strong evidence of the collusion. The collusion is admittedly all the margins. But meanwhile, the fact that Trump has cited Putin as one of his favorite politicians.
Sure.
Trump is utterly pro-Russia, pro-Putin, and he's involved.
But actual evidence of Russia colluding in Trump's victory does not exist.
You're right. It does not yet exist. Or if it exists, we do not yet know about it. That is, I do agree with that.
But the way the media is treating it right now is like, you know, Trump should just resign because he essentially won because of Russia's involvement. And that to me is highly ridiculous.
Maybe the Huffington Post is saying that. The things I'm reading are not saying that.
Well, yeah, I'm talking about what the lower level. I'm talking about the Facebook Arab-tap-chicks.
Well, I have no interest in those people, but I also have no interest in using fake news using straw man fake news to discredit real news, and this is real news.
It's really not. An unnamed source in the CIA said that Russia hacked.
I mean, also
that's not real news. And they're also saying, it was obvious that they were trying to push Trump over Clinton because of that. Well, no, that doesn't prove that. That is also fake news. That is opinion. That is not news.
As we've learned from the Iraq debacle, intelligence almost always tends to have some twist of interpretation to it. We rarely get true smoking gun, here's a document with their intentions typed out literally on it, intelligence.
Yeah, it's my opinion. Well, they hacked the DNC. Well, it's my opinion they probably tried to hack the RNC as well. They were probably interested in both. From what I understand, they were not successful in trying to hack the RNC. And the DNC... The Democrats, for all their tech savvy, don't seem to have really good IT skills. I mean, you've got Anthony Weiner, and his scandal because of the email. You got Hillary Clinton and her mess with the private server. I don't think they're very good at internet security.
Well, Anthony Weiner definitely isn't, because I believe one of the reasons he got caught, if I'm not mistaken, wasn't it that he put what was meant to be a private message onto his regular timeline,
yes.
Right?
Yes.
Many a person has gotten caught that way,
most often your grandparents.
Yeah, that's a weird thing to do to me. Because, like, I always know the difference between a private message and a regular message on Twitter, but Apparently not Anthony Weiner.
Yeah.
But apparently. We've got to wrap the segment up here. But boy, I can't wait to be proven right on this one. And I'll be getting to my cat story here on the Little Truth. That sounds boring.
I can't wait for the cat
story. It sounds boring, but trust me, put it this way. In the cat story, laws will be broken and confessions will be made. This will be a legally actionable segment.
Wow. That'll
be exciting. So wow. It's not a classic cat story.
It's just not a podcast version of a Facebook post.
No, it is not. It is not a description of a sleeping kitty.
A sleeping kitty catching mice in her dreams.
Right. No, this is outlaw stuff. This is random. I can't wait. But before that,
speaking of outlaw,
yes,
Rogue One.
Nice transition. You can't watch TV or walk down the street without somebody throwing an advertisement in front of your face with Rogue One on it. New Star Wars movie comes out this weekend, and you don't care, huh?
I really don't care.
And this is not care like in casual apathy. This seems like mildly active apathy.
Yeah, it might even be active apathy. It's okay. Well, we had one last year. And now we have one this year. And this is just the opening up of the franchise. At this point, once it's, you know, Lucas originally envisioned 9. He envisioned a trilogy of trilogies. That was Lucas's original vision for the Star Wars saga. Right. And now, all of a sudden, we got the decimals. We got 1.1, 1.2. It is now going to be endless Star Wars. There is no beginning. There is no end. It Disney can run that franchise for 100 years.
Oh, that was when Disney bought it. I thought that was always the plan.
Yeah.
Here's the thing, though. That's been, you're doing yourself an interesting favor here. You're showing that you're not too nerdy. You might have a smidge of nerd to you, but you're not too nerdy because, as a guy who worked in a comic book shop, let me tell you that this has been going on for years. There's a whole debate among nerds about which Star Wars novels are part of the official canon and which ones are just speculative dalliances in the universe. Where to basically anybody else, it's like, well, there's 3 movies and then they made some more, you know. But there's certain cartoons, the Clone Wars cartoons, I think. There's Rebel. There's been this Star Wars expanded universe for a long time, but it was always just like a real nerdy nerd culture thing.
Oh no, I knew there was an expanded universe, and I was apathetic about that as well.
As well, you should have been. That was the proper response. So I guess because I used to work in a comic book store and was sort of subjected to all the there was many comic book series that would fill in gaps.
It's really funny that you were working at a comic book store because are you really into comic books?
I was as a kid, and I still do. It's probably the nerdiest thing that I do enjoy, although I haven't purchased a new comic book in years.
Yeah.
But part of it was just that, we also sold books. It was a cooler comic book store. It was also in the sense of like, not cool, but like,
it was a graduate comic book store.
Well, it wasn't a college town.
I'm just saying as far as comic book educations go, it wasn't the undergraduate library. It was the graduate library.
Yeah. Like my thing is like pulp novels. I love pulp novels. And we sold a lot of pulp and old weird fiction. Yeah. And so I was into the fiction as much as anything else. And then sold some movies and, you know, but the boss man had a really good taste. And because he didn't really need money because his wife had a good job. I mean, he needed money, but not, you know, real bad. He was like, I'm not going to sell like gaming crap. I hate those guys. He's like, I don't want those guys sitting around stinking at my store. Let's just sell these old Tarzan reprints.
here's the thing. I got to say this. I don't think there's enough material there for a trilogy of trilogies. I don't think there's enough material for 9 movies, to be honest with you. It's pretty much all the same. It's pretty much the bad guys get a Death Star. The good guys have to blow it up. They have to do something, so they have to go undercover so they can blow it up, and meanwhile somebody's parent and they don't realize it.
I agree that they are.
That's every episode.
I agree that they are needlessly. It's crazy that they would have the newish one, whatever the last one was called, Force Awakens, be a retread of the Death Star plot when the biggest critique, even among the nerdiest of nerds of the original Star Wars movies, was, well, they did just kind of repeat themselves in the third movie. You know, it's crazy that they repeated themselves again.
Yeah, and then
the good news about these expand the thing that was potentially interesting to me about these expanded stories is when there's potential interest in just exploring the various corners of the universe that aren't the main Jedi conflict, and that maybe I'm actually more interested in that than I am following the Jedi stuff.
But isn't the gist of this one, if I'm not mistaken, this is how they found out they got the plans for the Death Star.
Yes.
There it is again.
No, agreed.
And the person that finds it, she doesn't know who her dad is.
Oh, really?
I don't know. I'm just guessing.
Oh, I don't know. And I'm curious to see it, I guess. I think it looks like a fun. I don't know. I like sci-fi movies, so I'm not much more excited to see this than I am any other interesting looking sci-fi. You know, I was like, oh, Arrival, that looks good. You know, my Rogue One anticipation is about my Arrival anticipation, which is I'm not really going to think about it much until probably Friday afternoon. And I'm like, oh yeah, tomorrow maybe I'll go see that Star Wars movie.
Do you get to see the movies for free?
My newspaper pays for I send them a ticket stubs and everything, and they reimburse me for all my movie related expenses.
What I thought. Okay, cool.
Yeah.
Do you ever get to see something before everyone else does?
I used to all the time, especially in Chicago, but I haven't really pushed for it as much in Minneapolis just because,
Do they do early screenings in Minneapolis?
Uh-huh. They do, but they tend to be just two or three days before, and with our publication schedule, it wouldn't really help because we publish on a Thursday. Right. So if I saw a movie on a Wednesday, I mean, the paper's already basically laid out.
Right.
I used to do that all the time in Chicago, though. But no, I you know, it's interesting though. Your Star Wars fatigue seems to be the inverse of everybody else's, and it's a bit baffling to me too. There's no amount of Star Wars that's too much. I feel like our culture can't get enough Star Wars and Batman, and it's like, God, can we just have some grown-up stuff to talk about?
Oh, Batman! I won't even just stop it at Batman. I am sick of heroes in tights. That is, I have had enough superheroes. There doesn't seem to be any end to that. I can't believe people aren't getting tired of superheroes.
I kind of agree, and boy, they're not. At least not yet.
I mean, I understand the car crashes and the explosions and the cool tech and the wonderful computer graph. I understand all that, but I really don't. I'm tired of superpowers.
Yeah, and you know, I'm like I said, I was a comic book guy. I like that stuff. I just don't want it to be everything that I see. You know, it's like, can we just do a movie where some former soldier has to shoot at people to get his kids back or something? I don't know. I like old school 80s action movies, or I like, you know, sci-fi that's not superhero based, or, you know, horror or just other stuff.
Yeah.
You know, it's one of the reasons Westworld is fun. It's like, it scratches that itch, but it's not the same thing.
I was actually thinking about that. We probably should have scratched the Rogue One and talked Westworld, because the series wrapped up with a very surprise ending.
Oh, you thought that was a surprise?
You didn't know that? You knew that? You knew that it was was 30 years previous?
Oh, yeah. I'd figured that for episodes. Several episodes.
Oh, man. Man, I did not.
There was a particular clue for those who haven't seen Westworld. It turns out there's a bifurcated timeline at one point. But the giveaway is that in one episode, you see one host playing two different characters. Clifton Collins Jr. is in an episode with both one character and the other at the same time in a completely different garb. That was five episodes back. And then they made such a big deal about one character choosing a hat color and then another character being identified with a hat color that I just remember thinking oh, yeah, this is separate timelines.
Okay, I missed both of those.
It also explained another host's wardrobe change constantly.
Yeah. No, no, I know. I was aware of that, but I didn't realize it was a 30-year gap.
Yeah, that part I'd figured out. Nothing, I will say this before we wrap up, nothing about the Westworld finale actually surprised me, but I thought it was really good.
Yeah.
Like, I thought it went where it needed to go in a very satisfying way. I mean, I'm not saying I predicted everything, but I was like, okay, yeah, this is playing out kind of like I expected, but oof, what a great show.
I hope that's it.
You hope that the show's over?
Yeah, I hope the series is
over. Oh, it's totally not over. There's a second season.
Oh, no, I know. I know. Yeah. But that was enough. I don't know.
Yeah, you're right. That could play as a movie.
Right. It was all compact. It was all everything was, you know, satisfied in the final episode. I guess they didn't have a lot of faith that it was going to be renewed.
Yeah.
It left it opening. Oh, yeah. Not being renewed.
We'll be back in the final segment. And on the final segment of Rule of Three, as promised, a little story about my cat, whose name is Gatsby. So last Monday, we had a podcast.
Did you name it?
We didn't. We adopted him from a, they found him as a little wayward kittens, and people would foster him for like a month, and then they once they're healthy, they send them out for adoption, and we were going to name him something different, and then his name was Gatsby, and we just thought, well, that's as good of a name as we would have given him.
Yeah.
And fits with our other cats. His older buddy is R. Buckminster Fuller, named after the scientist and environmentalist. And then his dearly departed brother, it was a Garp, named after the character in the John Irving novel.
Right.
We have a literary cats. yesterday I went to Acme last Monday, and then came home and had a regular pleasant evening, and then I woke up the next day and old Gatsby there was really, really seemed sick. He was walking a crooked line and his eyes were screwed up, and the guy didn't look good. And I called my wife.
I might not have been able to predict the end of Westworld, but I think I can predict the end of this story already.
Poor little guy was sick, and I called my wife, and she said, yeah, he seemed real off this morning. He wasn't doing his usual routine. I said he didn't eat, and I was really worried, and I called the vet, and I made an appointment, and it was only about a half an hour before I took him to the vet that I realized that the previous night I'd done a radio show, and as a thanks for doing the radio show, the host had given me a pot cookie. Which I had responsibly eaten half of.
An actual radio show? An actual on-the-air broadcast over the licensed station?
No, and I don't want to give away too many details lest I...
It was more a podcast?
I don't want to give any details, really. I don't implicate anybody else. I'm fine with implicating myself, but I don't implicate anybody else.
I'm just kind of wondering what format the radio station was. That's
I can
all.
Tell you. I'll tell you off-air, but... it's not what you might expect, but it's... I'm not going to implicate anybody but myself in this story. I had to...
Can I ask... I'm not going to ask more questions for identity. Was it a Christmas cookie? Did this person bake these as Christmas cookies and give them away? Is that tradition? Or was it like you buy them from a Denver Girl Scout?
No, they just make them.
Huh.
This person makes them because they... this person has a volcano. I don't know if you're familiar with a volcano.
I'm not that old.
Which is a kind of the large-scale vaporizing device. Remember the old computers? It's funny, the original computer was like the size of a closet, and it could just like calculate your Monopoly score. And nowadays, it's like, I've got this thing that looks like a cigarette, but you can put hash oil in it, and you can get to the airport. And back this, the volcano was like the old...
It's the old LED readout. The pixie tubes.
Yeah,
it's a pixie tube computer version of
pre-transistor computer.
Pixie tube, that's it.
Apparently, when you're done with your vaporized leavings, you can use those to make cookies.
Huh.
And so it's kind of a way to, it's like upcycling your...
So he's still using the volcano.
Yes. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. So whenever he gets enough volcano leavings, he makes batch
gets enough. Gets enough lava.
Just as an occasion, and then but okay. So then because it is sort of just this bonus thing, you know, it's not like an enterprise. It's just like, oh hey, have one of these, you know.
Huh.
It's just sort of a gesture of general goodwill and personal intoxication for him. So I acquired one of these. I had half of it. You know, I had show that night, so I didn't want to. Be too crazy, you know, but it was just, I've not been drinking for a while. So it was sort of a nice, like, hey, I have a little buzz. That's sort of a pleasant thing. And, didn't think anything about it, wrapped up in a napkin, left it in my coat pocket when I went home. And, when I called my wife, I said, was there a napkin lying on the floor? And she said, yeah, there was a coffee shop napkin with teeth marks all over it. Cause he loves people food. He'll eat vegetables. He'll eat your salad out of your salad bowl. He'll eat carrots, lettuce.
Wow!
Onions.
So he actually jumped up onto your coat. He actually smelled it. Jumped up onto your coat.
Yep. And my coat must have been hanging just low enough that if he got on his back legs, he could get his little head into the pocket or his paw, and then he pulled the cookie out of the pocket.
So does he look for treats there often, or do you think he smelled it?
Oh, he smelled it.
Uh-huh.
Oh, yeah. And you know, it probably was. He loves cookies. In fact, we make Christmas cookies. It's funny. I was telling my wife. He learned nothing because we made Christmas cookies just this weekend over on Sunday. And yesterday I found a Christmas cookie that he had apparently stolen, and he was hiding it behind his litter box and going back for bites of it. So either he didn't learn anything
or enjoyed it.
Yeah, you know, it's funny. That would be the joke, but I felt really bad because he did not enjoy it. He was not having a good
time. Well,
actually,
the joke was, did you notice the cat was acting peculiar? Yeah, he was watching SpongeBob.
Well, it actually was funny when I said, oh my God, I think I know what this is. And when I told the vet, so she's like, I think I figured out what it is. I'm like, oh my God, the cookie's not there. The cookie's gone. Meg found the napkin. You know, I'm doing the math in my head. I'm like, this has to be it. You know, I mean, it just has to be it.
Sure.
So we go into the vet, and my wife was not mad at me. She wasn't. She was not happy. But she was not mad at me. She was like, this is weird. This is dumb. This is not your – she was not happy, but she wasn't mad at me. So we go into the vet, and I'm like, look, I'm just going to – I was like, it's on me. I will certainly confess because I was like, I don't want to spend $1,000 – like be coy and spend $1,000 on tests that we don't need. And so we went to the vet, and I confessed to the vet, and my wife threw me under the bus so hard. She became like a sitcom wife. She was so mad. She was just rolling her eyes and what a jerk I was. It was like, I think she was chagrined. Like she was so eager not to be implicated in my tomfoolery that she just pretended like she was like, look, I married this guy in a fit of weakness 10 years ago. It was a huge mistake. And now here we are, you know, that's the end of the story.
And please make sure this is in the record. So if there is a divorce, I get custody of the cat.
Of the cat. Yeah. She's having this all read into the record. I want this on the chart, right down.
I want a restraining order on him. He is not allowed to visit the cat without another adult present.
Right. So we told the vet, and the vet was very, you know, she was – of course, this is the only time it's ever happened. She goes, I've got some kids from the vet school that want to sit in and watch this. So they're learning. So there was actually
how old was the vet?
My vet is a lovely, lovely young lady who's probably, I don't know, early 30s, mid 30s.
Okay.
She's a little younger than me, I think. She's actually quite fetching. No pun intended.
Well, you should see her. You should see her when I throw the tennis ball.
Yeah. No, she is actually. She is quite lovely.
I wasn't. I just.
But no, it's an interesting question.
Just trying to get a grasp on how understanding she would be of the situation. So,
well, I also think she's. If she's listening to this, Dr. Smith, you're awesome. I'm just assuming this about you. I could be wrong. I think she's like pretty. Like, I don't know about politically. I think she's like pretty conservative, like religious. I get the impression she's kind of a good girl, you know? So she was a little like, oh, goodness. But she said this has actually happened. She said this happens more often than you would think. She's like, this is not that uncommon for cats and dogs.
So little advice to all the cat owners and cookie lovers out in the audience there. Make sure you put them on a sealed cat-proof container.
Yeah, but she has – it's funny. She starts going through the symptoms, and they're all cat stuff. She's like, has he been listless? Has he been disinterested in things? Has he been sleeping extra?
Does he seem hungry?
Right. And so it's funny. I was like, what's wrong with him? Like, well, He's still staring at a blank spot on the wall, but without that same je ne sais quoi. Which really wasn't the truth, is that he's got a big personality, but it was like his personality was muted. But it turns out you just got to ride it out. They gave him some IV fluids, and then he came through, and he's back to being his little bad self.
Something to get rid of the cotton mouth.
Yeah, right.
There's actually an incident in Chicago. Is the story near a conclusion? Because we're getting near the end.
That's pretty much the end.
Okay. There's an incident in Chicago where apparently there were tainted gummy bears at a high school that caused a rash of illness, including dry mouth and dizziness. And they're trying to figure out what might have been in the gummy bears. And it's like, I don't think we really need a forensic check on that.
Yeah, you're like, if you need me to go down and do a formal analysis, I'm willing.
But still, it was like a 5-day story. There's some we still haven't concluded what was in the gummy bears that caused so many kids to go to the, you know, because they probably, you know. It's whoever brought them home from Denver, the candy store, probably said, right. Be careful with these, no more than one, a half at most. And, you know, the kids are like, oh.
Yeah, or they might have been mixed in with regular bears and not been aware. I will say, much like my poor kitty, being stoned when you don't know you are is not a thrill. It's terrifying. You know, you're like, oh, no.
Did I have a stroke?
Yeah, exactly. Nope, and, just still a cookie.
I think that brings us to the end of the segment. TimSlagle.com. All the shows. We're also on iTunes.
Yep. And at BrianMillerComedy.com and Real Brian Miller with a Y on Twitter.
And we'll see you next week. Next week, I think we're going to be talking about a Philip K. Dick novel.
Yes. And Christmas. Christmas with Philip K. Dick. That's what we're going to be.
You can make your own pun derivation of that. See you next week.
Next week.